just mostly countryside. And so when you have small towns like that, being able to pull their resource together and actually sort of share the responsibility of pride is a very sensible thing to do. So I know that here in Ontario, or at least last I checked anyway, Sarnia, Petrolia, and Blackwater, which is sort of their sister city across the water on the, people say the Detroit side. It's not Detroit, it's Michigan State. But yeah, Blackwater City in Michigan State. These smaller communities, which are almost large enough to have a proper, or I don't want to say proper, a large Pride festival, but not quite large enough. They actually just rotate between the three communities. And Pride just goes back and forth across the water. So a lot of smaller towns are kind of moving in that direction where, you might have, a Ruralton's Pride with where three people show up, or you could get sort of the Ruralton greater area Pride where multiple small communities, it'll sort of rotate between them. And you don't necessarily want it to be too big because then people have to drive 5 hours because rural Ontario is pretty empty. Not rural Ontario, rural Canada is pretty empty. You can drive 2 hours between communities in some parts of the country. So being able to coordinate these different communities and say, like, well, you five get together and sort of share pride amongst yourselves. And we will train you on how to put that together. We might assist you in putting together a committee or a board or however it is that you decide to structure yourselves. That's pretty helpful stuff, especially when you're looking at smaller communities which may have fewer resources. And it's the kind of thing where, on a long enough scale, most people are smart enough, they might be able to figure, actually not might, they would be able to figure it out on their own anyway. But it's just, why struggle in the dark for 10 years when you could just have somebody saying, like, look, this is what works. And having that sort of centralized body of knowledge that says this is a good, efficient way to get pride organizations to work. The other thing, actually, this is something that I wish people did a little bit more actively. You've got two different ways that you can organize prides. You can either have the entire province do it all in 1 weekend and just have a pride, or you could stagger it and then have sort of like a tourism thing where you go from community to community, which is Ontario kind of does a hybrid of the two, which is the worst. You want to do one or the other.
I've always loved the idea of, because the country, broadly speaking, does that. And doing a pride tour, where I reckon you could get on a bus and hit nearly every major pride. The thing is, they're nearly always on a Saturday, so you'd have to like be in a place for each week, and that's a lot of time off for you. Who would have the luxury for that much time off? But yeah, the idea of like a little bus that goes, city to city would be adorable. Now, a lot of what you mentioned, I think, relates to the next story that I wanted to talk about as well, and that is the new executive director. And when I say new, I mean brand new.
Like
Like, I
2 hours
don't,
old.
but they're still mucus. So Pride PEI, Prince Edward Island, they have, after some really great leadership recently, they've managed to secure enough funds to be able to actually hire an executive director. And they're very excited about this. So they've just hired Cameron Cassidy, and I believe Cameron Cassidy's role now is, and what Cameron's talking about, I think relates a lot to what you're saying. And Cameron's saying that the focus that she has is on long-term sustainability, not Pride Festival. Boom, Pride Festival, boom, Pride Festival. Normally, these organizations have one goal in mind, which is to launch the next thing the following summer and hopefully don't go bankrupt, and then do the same thing over again and hopefully don't go bankrupt. It leads to burnout for board members, for volunteers. It doesn't give any kind of like sustainability. And Cameron Cassidy has really identified this as a challenge that a lot of pride organizations have had, and it's a challenge that they believe they're going to try and zero in on first. And I agree. I think that's a great approach. So we'll be keeping an eye on Prince Edward Island Pride and the new executive director, Cameron Cassidy, and how that develops. But for now, we're jumping to our next song, which is Took the Dog for a Long Walk by Mortimer Be Quiet. And we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to Cangri, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And that was Took the Dog for a Long Walk by Persimmon Mortimer Be Quiet. I actually did take my dog for a walk earlier. And yeah, it was very exciting. Now, there is, there's always Hollywood news. We do keep an eye on it. The only thing that I think was worth mentioning is that Cher and Sinead O'Connor have been amongst the nominees put forward for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
But Stiff Competition, Ozzy Osbourne, Foreigner, Sade, Lenny Kravitz, Mary J. Blige,
Sade.
Sade, sorry.
Yes.
A Tribe Called Quest. They are all also
Ooh.
on the ballot.
Ooh.
Will Cher eke a position? Who knows? It's a pretty stiff
I mean,
competition.
Ozzy Osbourne.
I know. He recently just took somebody to court. I want to say it was Usher for copyright infringement.
Sade had a massive impact on the sort of oh, what she had a massive impact on music.
Now, the other story that we are keeping an eye on. Now, in Alberta, if I believe it's 10% of the community gathers together with a petition and says, look, this many of us believe something is happening, they can force a referendum.
Oh
And
my.
in Westlock, Alberta, they are forcing a referendum on a municipal bylaw. And the proposed bylaw language, and I have it here handy. Now, this referendum is coming up on, I want to say, February 22nd, so quite soon. The bylaw says, do you agree that only federal, provincial, municipal may be flown on flags may be flown on flagpoles on town of Westlock municipal property? All crosswalks in the town of Westlock must be standard white striped patterns between two parallel white lines, and the existing rainbow crosswalk in the town be removed. They are putting a rainbow crosswalk to a referendum in Westlock, Alberta. Now,
Are these
this
separate
is
items, or is it agree or disagree for the
it's
whole
agree
thing?
or disagree. It'll
For the whole
essentially
thing.
ban flags and remove the crosswalk,
Oh.
or
Oh.
not ban flags and not remove the crosswalk.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's hard to say. The community is obviously quite concerned. They said, wow, if they're gunning for this, well, what comes next? I'm not a fan of the slippery slope argument, but it certainly has sort of changed the vibe in the town. Some of the residents felt that the town wasn't hearing them, wasn't listening to them. And a part of me here is thinking, okay, do we take the gamble here? Because first of all, one in 10 people are gay. So if every single homosexual, bisexual, and trans person went out and voted, it's not enough. So the question is, who holds the sway of the majority for this town?
Yeah.
Is it these individuals who are outraged by the sight of a rainbow crosswalk and want it banned and removed immediately? Or is it the gay community? And I think in the middle there, we have the sort of silent majority of Canadians in this town who are going to have to decide. And I don't know, maybe it's just the hopeful in me, and I'm not really much of an optimist, but I think that if it is put to a vote, then maybe this is an opportunity to really challenge the town and be like, look, you've got two options here. Pro-gay, visibly with the crosswalk that's there, or anti-gay and remove any mention and reference and paint over it immediately. And those are the options, and sort of have it. What about you? I'm leaning towards let them vote and
Well,
hope for
so
the
I'm all
best.
for democracy and I'm all for freedom of speech and I'm all for a lot of stuff, but I'm also acutely aware of the concept of the tyranny of the majority, that is the kink in the armor of democracy, that you do have that issue. But on the other hand, let's say that only 10% of the community is LGBT identified. Everybody else also has to live there, and if they don't, that's not their symbols, then I know it's complicated. For me, one of the biggest things is, like you may have guessed, because I kept saying, is this really all one vote? These things should be decided on separately. And it's also an issue of, just because those symbols aren't used doesn't mean you can't use other symbols. So one of the classics that we've brought up a few times is, there's a few communities that don't have the budget or the willpower or the whatever to make a rainbow crosswalk. One of the major issues with the rainbow crosswalk is you have to repaint it all the time because it's being driven over. So what some communities decide to do as sort of a cheaper alternative is, they put in the downtown core, they put rainbow flags up on the various light posts. You see the little crossbars on light posts, and you just put different flags on there according to whatever festival's going on. As sort of a bonus, this is something that never occurred to me until a few months ago. It's generally seen as a symbol of a pretty deep disrespect to walk on a flag or a symbol. And the fact that crosswalks is a thing, you're walking on the symbol, it doesn't bother me. But I was like, yeah, that is an association. Like the number of times we see at protests people walking on a flag as a sign of disrespect, and we're begging people to walk on the rainbow flag. I don't know. It's kind of peculiar.
The irony is not lost on me.
But there are also other symbols. That's really what I'm trying to get at. So if you were to say no flags at City Hall flagpole doesn't mean you can't put flags up elsewhere. No rainbow crosswalk doesn't mean you can't put the little rainbow flags on the streetlights. Not doing this doesn't mean you can't do that. Like, is it a referendum on pride symbols during pride season around the city, or is it about these in specific? And I think the fact that they're just narrowing it down to all of these put together and you just have to vote on all of them in one ballot, that to me just feels very short-sighted. Like it's just a matter of, like, I don't know how many times, like, you see this all the time if you ever watch Question Period, if you're the kind of nerd who watches Question Period at Parliament, where you'll see a law that everybody agrees should pass, but it still gets voted down because the wording is just so bad. Even the party that put it out there in the first place are like, okay, sorry, guys. Yeah, we should edit this. Like, that happens.
The thing I want to mention here for the voters to consider as well, and we don't have a huge amount of time left in the show, is these individuals are very likely to get up and go vote.
Yeah.
So if you are, you know, you believe maybe this isn't really what's best for the town, you also have to get up and go vote.
Yes.
Because otherwise these motivated few will change the law. We have run out of time. My name is Luke Smith. We're playing out with Quest Before Me by Noreen Braun. As I said, I'm Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
I'm not sold on what you're selling. Don't buy what you believe. I'm not cruel or callous. What you want ain't what I need. And I'm tired of how this always ends. You're good until you're gone. And we wind up here again. Just want the high when you come around. You just wanna fly and never come down. It's reckon you'll be the death of me. It's such a crime. You just want the high. The work and every chance and every time kill what hurts. You've gotta be tired, it's taking its toll watching us burn. Such a crime. You just want the high. You'll be making promises, begging for me back. You bend, you break. Just want the high when you come round. You just wanna fly and never come down. It's reckon you'll be the death of me. It's such a crime. my brain or even my body. There's no reasoning how we get so rocky. How will I know?
Fall out of love. Maybe it's not.
to blame? Why do lovers fall out of love? How can I make amends? Maybe it is the end. All I ask is to take it slow. I can't let go. All I ask is to take it slow. I can't let go. I can't let go. So take it slow.
To my knees.
It seems no one else is. Did you know that LGBT students hear anti-gay slurs an average of 26 times a day? One out of every four LGBT youth are told to leave home. LGBT youth are more likely to be homeless. 30% of suicides are LGBT. PFLAG is committed to anyone struggling with sexual orientation and gender identity issues. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, it's Art Show.